the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. This is Tom Bosley, and once again, it's time to join the wonderful world of your imagination through the magic of radio. Today, our story is about two young Americans, 129, 133, whose extraordinary adventures exploring the West stood the United States on its ear 175 years ago. You might say they had the same kind of stamina and courage we admire today when young Americans explore space. The president who gave the go-ahead was Thomas Jefferson. The men who went were an army captain, Meriwether Lewis, and an ex-frontier soldier, William Clark. Together, they opened up the West. They traveled over 3,000 miles from St. Louis to the Pacific Ocean and back. And no one had ever done that before. Our adventure, Lewis and Clark, based on their own personal account, was written especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater by G. Frederick Lewis. I shall be back shortly with Act One.
Yes.
Imagine half of the United States, the western half, unknown and practically uncharted. Yet that was the case when Thomas Jefferson sent out Lewis and Clark to discover whether Americans could plow and harvest that land, fish and hunt and live there. Before they could get started, they had to train 2 dozen men and provision the 3 boats which would take them up the Missouri River on the first leg of their journey to the unknown.
Captain Lewis, we are all met.
Thank you, Captain Clark. Men, we are shortly to embark upon a mission for President Jefferson. One of exploration, deprivation, hardship. You will serve this country not if you die for her. It is only by living, helping one another to cross unfamiliar territory, lands, lakes, rivers, defending ourselves against the weather or enemy, and returning to St. Louis, that our mission will have been accomplished. Captain Clark will detail your duties. Those of you who have families, make your farewells. Let us put our faith in God and go forward.
Company! Dismiss!
Dismiss!
Captain Lewis, I'm not sure half these men will last 100 miles.
There's no one within earshot, Bill. You can skip the captain.
Well, I was going to say, Lou, more than half are volunteers.
Which ones?
Well, the 9 from Kentucky, who happen to be the youngest.
They'll stand up. Who else?
14 regular army and the new man, George. I can't pronounce his name. The one who understands Indian Sign Language.
That's Dwyad, George Dwyad. We were fortunate to get him.
Well, he arrived last night. I want to meet him. Then there are the watermen for the boats and half dozen soldiers and a sergeant to come along with us on the first leg upriver.
Good. I'd like them to be ready to give us a hand loading the boat.
Well, I hope they know how to fight.
Come now, Bill. We're traveling like traitors. Fight and attack? Why, is it possible?
Not possible, Lou. Probably.
Look, I'll make you a small wager. Not only are the recruits that you've got better than you give them credit for, but I'll bet you we don't lose one man to an Indian bullet.
Why a small wager? My gold watch against yours.
I can see you don't think you'll need to know the time after we return.
Why not? I'll have 2 watches to consult.
All right. Well, you just remember that you insisted.
Well, here's my hand on it.
Right. Come, let's check the supplies.
Seems to me every time I come back to the storehouse, another couple of bales have been added. Oh, who's that?
Well, the very man you wanted to meet. George?
Just checking the gifts for the Indians.
Good morning, sir.
George, I'd like you to meet Captain Clark. We're running the show together. It's George Dwyad, our interpreter.
Oh, heard about you.
Did you?
A pleasure. We came over to check stores.
The quartermaster tells me he started with 7 bales and 1 box. The usual clothing, flints, powder, ball, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Then I believe Captain Lewis ordered everything split up. Some of each item in each bale, so if one supply went overboard, we would not be caught short.
How are the presents for the Indians? Satisfactory?
Oh, more than enough. 14 bales and a box.
So what kind of things appeal most?
Let me show you, Captain. Take this box. For the chiefs, there's an assortment of ornate coats, the velvet, and those silk ones. They like those.
Right.
Quite a lot of artillery corps dress uniforms. They like the heavy lace on them. Over here now, in this bale, there are the smaller items. You can see them. It's still being packed.
Right.
Buttons, medals, flags, knives.
I understand everything's been checked over, tested.
The whiskey, too?
Oh, well, I would not know about that, sir. Just took over today. Then, of course, tobacco.
George, that's double the amount of tobacco.
Ah, excellent idea. Tobacco has this kind of symbolism for them. Pipe of peace and so on.
Have we an adequate supply of mirrors and handkerchiefs? I remember when I was a militiaman in Pennsylvania, how those Mohawks loved mirrors and handkerchiefs.
Yeah, then I'll check to make sure.
And in the food department?
Well, if you look over here at this list, pork, 50 kegs.
A little less than 4,000 pounds.
3,400 pounds flour, 2,000 parched meal, 750 pounds salt, 600 pounds grease. A biscuit, 500 pounds.
Weren't we figuring on 24 months?
Just a moment. Thank you. Thank you again, George. And see about the mirrors, will you? And the tobacco.
Goodbye, Captain Lewis. Very pleased to have met you, sir. Captain Clark.
Right. What was that all about? I don't understand you, Lou.
Oh, 24 months. I wasn't about to discuss it in front of a man I hardly know.
Why or not?
Well, how do we know 24 months? We don't even know how many miles we'll be traveling. It could be anywhere from 3 to 5,000. Which passes are open? Half the rivers are uncharted. How much game can we kill? Can we live off the land?
All right, all right. You've made your point. I liked him.
No, I think he respected you, too.
I wrote to my mother we'd be living off the land, and she wrote back, "I don't care how many plums and berries you eat, but for heaven's sake, be careful of the toadstools." Lou, made how many yesterday?
18 miles is close enough. Anyone who can draw a map upon his knees, as you can, Bill, deserves the Medal of Honor.
18, huh? Well, that's what we're holding to each day, give or take a mile.
Yeah, with the wind in our backs. But wait, it's only been a month.
Captain Lewis! Turbulence ahead!
Turbulence, I better see.
Shall I come?
Now, Bill, you're keeping the log in all records. That's your job. Mine is keeping us out of trouble.
Disabled race ground. Half mile of rapids. See those rocks on the south side, Captain. They're causing a build-up for shifting sandbars.
The bank is falling in too fast. Cross the river. Right across over to the north side. Now right across. Fast.
Sandbar. Sandbar.
That side, if we hit that bar, she'll tip right over.
Lou, there's no time to talk. Then jump in.
Hey. Ah, wish follow him. I think we can hold her from the water side. Come on, it's only 4 feet of water. Nobody will drop. Let out below.
I am keeping this journal because the president wants a day-by-day account of what we see and what happens to us. Our boat would certainly have capsized had not everyone aboard leaped into the water and, with the aid of all hands, kept her righted, the waves dashing over her for the space of 40 minutes. It was touch and go. The morning of the 4th of July was announced by the discharge of our gun. We celebrated in the evening with another shot. And an extra gill of whiskey for the men. And so to bed in our tents.
Everybody! Everybody up! Up! Everybody! Another day, another 20 miles.
Morning, Sergeant Ordway.
Ben, what time do we sail, sir?
Oh, no, not today. We're holding counsel with the Teton Indians. They're just putting ashore now.
Well, we'll have the men at the flagstaff at the hour, Captain.
Good, Sergeant. Captain Clark!
Come right in my tent, Lou. I've been up before dawn. Well, how do you like it?
How do I like what? You've trimmed your red beard?
No, the rifle.
Oh.
I'm not happy with the sear spring. A little stiff. But she's clean.
Well, that's what we've got a gun repairman along for.
You think I'd trust my rifle to a stranger? No, not today. Come on, I'll walk you back.
Hey, why today?
Well, those Teton chiefs and warriors climbing out of the boats over there are enough reason.
We invited the Teton tribe, you short-tempered redhead. Invited. You understand?
They're Indian and we're white. That's what I understand.
Shh. Just keep your color blindness to yourself. Good morning, Chief.
I am Chief Big Bear Trap.
Duck, Lou. Those arrows are meant for us.
Into the woods, fast.
Lou, I'm not waiting any longer for some Indian to cry bullseye.
Hey, they're breaking and running. They're into their canoes. Okay, stop firing.
This here spring behaved very nicely. Oh, you're a good rifle. How do you tell a friend from a foe in these parts?
Oh, you were very fortunate, both of you.
Captain Lewis thought Chief Bear Trap was a friendly Teton.
Oh, no, those were not Tetons. They were Mandans, their sworn enemy. Oh, they must have figured any friends of the Tetons have to be disposed of.
George, I am not making any more arrangements without you by my side. We have too many miles to go to risk any more bear traps.
Congress had appropriated $2,500 for the entire expedition. It was a lot, even for those days. What, of course, Congress didn't buy and could never have paid for were those courageous men and one woman who followed Lewis and Clark to the Pacific and back in an adventure never surpassed, never even equaled. Yes, one woman. How she came to join the exploration, we shall learn about when I return in a moment with a second chapter. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly.
City Station, New York. And good luck.
Autumn was turning to winter. The going got rougher. Yet Sergeant John Ordway wrote home to his folks. I'm so happy to be one of them picked men. We expect to be gone 18 months or 2 years. We're to receive a great reward for this expedition of $15 a month, and at least 400 acres of first-rate land if we make great discoveries. The United States has promised to make us great rewards, but I expect no greater than to live this life with these men. I'll ride again next winter if I have a chance.
Journal entry, Wednesday, November 12th. Early this morning, we encamped in two cabins just above a small creek. Snow is on the ground. The cold season is upon us. A flannel shirt was given to each man and fresh gunpowder to those who required it.
Captain Clark! Captain Clark!
Come in, quickly, and shut the door behind you.
Captain Clark, this is Sacagawea of the Shoshone Indian tribe.
Sacagawea? Yes. You're a woman.
I am. My husband is Tuisson Charbonneau.
What are you carrying on your back?
A papoose.
My baby son, Jean-Baptiste.
George, is
This a social call or what?
Chabanneau is French, but he is the finest Indian interpreter for 5,000 miles. He's next door talking to Captain Lewis. I hope we can take him.
Well, isn't that your job, George?
No, he speaks the languages. I can only make myself understood with my hands. And besides, there's plenty for the two of us. And I'm a better hunter than he is.
I speak all Indian tongues as well.
Oh, that's fine. Sacagawea, I'm glad to have met you and the
Captain
baby.
Captain Clark, if we want Chabanneau, we will have to take his wife and the baby also.
Oh, we do, do we? Well, we'll see about that. Yeah, just like clockwork, our papoose pilgrim announces the hour every morning from January through March.
It's a big day. Everything ready to go?
I hope so. The Indians and the pack horses were set and ready last night. Mile after mile, hacking a trail through forests and across rivers and lakes, then portaging across land, then back to the rivers, traveling by water. Advancing by day and picking a likely spot to camp by night. Sometimes, the spot was unlikely. This night...
Captain! Captain!
Huh?
Wake up! The ground is sinking!
Oh, quicksand! Bugler! Sound the alarm!
Something has undermined the sand we're on! The whole camp is going down!
Major boats, everybody! Fire! Target armed by Nolan on the double. Where is that girl and her baby?
She's helping push off one of the field boats.
Tell her to fire in. Get in. Now, roll to the other side. Everybody, roll.
Will you look at that?
Oh, here goes the encampment and the cliff behind it. Look at that.
Sacagawea. I want to thank you for giving the alarm.
I am proud to serve at the side of my husband and the captains. He tell me we will see great water at end of our land. I want to hold up my baby and show him.
Fruits and vegetables are lacking, as we have our potato, turnip, radish, parsnip, onion. The Indian has his camas, cowsy roots, wild onion, Shanatawi and Mopatu. Mopatu roots are the most valuable, the best tasting, and never out of season. George and I take leave of the camp today to forage, and, with any fortune, meet up with a tribe that would trade with us.
If they have any Mopatu roots, I should be glad to get them.
Well, here goes. How, Chief? How?
He's not talking.
Mm-hmm.
That is a friendly beginning.
Tell him we need Wapatu for our men. We have walked 5 miles. We'll give him articles he wants in return, whatever he would like.
Yes, well, we'd better show him what we have brought.
Mirrors, cocked hat, medals. This one with President Jefferson's face. Do you think he understands me?
I think so. Maybe he's waiting for you to pull out the blue beads.
Oh, that's all they want are blue beads, and we're out of blue beads. Wapatu! We need much Wapatu! Oh, no reaction. Not a glimmer. George, let me think about this. Wait, I have an idea. Where's my compass?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Well, he's interested. He's sitting down and he's watching you, Captain.
George, you are about to witness a performance by the great Clarko, the magician.
Huh?
Watch this. First, we take a port match and throw a piece into the fire. Now, my pocket compass. Nothing up my sleeve, huh? Now, face the compass toward our Indian friend and look.
The magnetic needle is spinning.
Ah, that's fantastic. How did you do that?
Tricks of the trade. We magicians never divulge our secrets. Look at him. He can't take his eyes from the compass.
Oh! Cock-a-doodle!
He does not like the way that port match flared up into a hot flame. Right. He does not like that at all.
Hungry men, me and you, bring them plenty wapatu.
They're getting something from the chief. Big bags of... don't tell him. I think he's saying put out bad fire.
Fellow Americans, your offering of wapatu pleases the great Clarko. Now, watch the compass. Keep your eye on the spinning needle.
The port match ought to burn out right now. There she goes. Out.
Oh.
See, one and all? The compass has come to rest. All is well.
That's famous.
Yes. How did you get it to spin like that?
I've got a little inkhorn here, and I palmed it. Makes the needle spin. Come on, let's be off.
We camped after a disagreeable day's march of only 11 miles in 18 hours. The hills are high and rocky, and the paths treacherous. We almost lost a burro, but yanked it back in time. There is much fatigue and hunger. It is raining, and the men lay down and sleep, wet, hungry, and cold.
Captain Clark? Captain, I find tribesmen. He have food, venison.
I'll bring him inside the tent. Yes, good. What does he want for it?
Piyakomo shuck.
Blue beads.
Oh, blue beads, blue beads, blue beads. Won't he take anything else? Look, my friend, we are starving. My men need meat. Oh, all right, Sacagawea. And he looks like he wants to go.
I see Sacagawea outside talking to a new Indian.
A new Indian with the old tricks. I couldn't bargain with him.
Yes, Sacagawea. What do you bring?
Don't tell me.
He gives me all this venison for the men.
What did you give him?
No, he take nothing. He say white man should hunger no more than red man. He say we all walk the same earth. We all sleep under the same sky.
After advancing several hundred miles into this wild, mountainous country, we may soon expect the game will abandon us.
Someone! Help!
Captain Clark!
Help me!
Captain Clark! Oh. Captain Lewis! Captain Clark is on the ground!
Oh, what's the matter, Bill? What is it?
I've got this terrible pain. All over.
Ah, you've been doling out medicine for the men and Indians. You probably picked up something yourself. I'll get you up on your cot. Sacagawea, see if you can find an extra blanket somewhere.
You have to finish today's report in the journal for me. Will you?
Not now, Bill. Where do you keep the Russia's pills? Here, let me fill you for you. You have got one fever.
No, don't
pull away. What are you doing with that pistol?
You listen to me. Take that pen and my inkhorn and write. Where was I?
Let me see. May soon expect the game will abandon us.
Yeah, with no information of the route, we may be unable to find a passage across the mountains.
Yeah.
Our chief dependence is... meeting some tribes... from whom we may procure horses.
Horses. Can I add something?
You always do.
If any nation of Indians can live in the mountains, we can also.
Here is blanket. How is Captain? Is all right?
Captain is all tired out. Captain does not take care of himself. He is good doctor for us all, but not good for himself. But now... Captain sleeps.
That was the team. When Meriwether Lewis was not taking care of William Clark, Clark was watching over Lewis. Clark was sick now, but in a month he would be extracting a bullet from Lewis's leg. For 2 years and more, this little band was absent from what we call civilization, trying to live off the land, dealing with dysentery, snake bites, exhaustion, and disappointment. Incredible, miraculous. And there are more terrifying adventures in store for them, which you will hear when I return in a moment with the third chapter taken from the original journal. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater will return shortly. The object of the Lewis and Clark expedition was to make known the unknown. What Thomas Jefferson and Lewis and Clark did know was that the Indian had been living all across our land for centuries and deemed it his. To what extent was he a friend? To what extent was his neighbor his enemy? No one could say. Captain Lewis and Captain Clark came not only as explorers, but as peacemakers among the many tribes they passed on their journey. But sometimes, things didn't quite work out.
We have two things to do. Find a pass through those cliffs, and bring back to camp rations for at least 3 days.
George, which is our best direction to find game?
I would head southeast.
Good. I was going to try that way for a trail anyway.
Southeast means the Blackfeet. Hundreds of them. Well, who knows? Maybe they won't spot us.
Yeah, maybe they won't catch us.
Now, we're spread out. Captain Clark and I will head for the junction of Badger Creek. And, George, you take the other side of the river. What's it called?
Two Medicine.
I think we ought to find some deer along Two Medicine.
Well, if we run into any trouble, I can always change the river's name.
To what?
Bad Medicine. Do you see George down there on the other side?
No, not yet. We're up too high on this side, and he's in the low valley on the other side. Hey, reach me my spyglass, Bill.
Okay. Look over there, Lou. About a mile downriver. Oh, I see horses.
I see Indians. They're shading their eyes, looking down towards the river. They've probably seen George.
Well, how can we warn him?
We can't. And if we run for it, they'll see us in the condition that our horses are in. We'll certainly be overtaken.
Well, we might try.
No, if we got away, George wouldn't. He'd be sacrificed. There's only one way. Open diplomacy. Unfurl the old flag, Bill. Hoist it up. Let's go to them down this side, across, and over. If we act friendly, who knows? They may be friendly. We're close enough now. Off we get. And then we'll walk to them. Slowly, slowly. Put out your left hand to them, like I am. Now, come on, extend it.
I recognize the headdress. I think we're making a mistake. I haven't got a free hand to draw with.
That's the last thing we want to show. A hand on a gun.
I feel awfully foolish. One hand holding a flag and the other extended.
Who are they?
Minotauris from Fort Prairie. Lou, they're not moving.
That's something.
That's nothing. The best we can hope for is that they rob us.
How? I am Captain Lewis. This is Captain Clark. We are riding through your country to the west. Our camp is 10 miles back. Our men have little food and we look for game. How?
You're not shaking hands with each one of them?
I sure am. How? 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 And you better do the same, Bill. How?
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 I am Shoshu Power.
I think that means rapid snake. I'm not certain.
Let me give you this medal and this flag of the United States of America, Chief Rapid Snake. Among white men, the flag is an emblem of peace. Now you have received it. May it be a bond of union between us.
Oh. You smoke pipe of peace.
We should be honored to.
Oh, Chief, by the way, one of our men has our pipe. He has gone alone downriver. You have seen him?
Yes. He ride.
If you'll have one of your men go with me, we'll bring him here.
Having one of theirs along is the only protection I've got. I'll get George here just as fast as our horses will carry us. You have enough tobacco?
Oh, sure. Don't worry. They're only eight, and only two have guns.
I am bushed. A tent with a straw floor never felt so good to me.
Captain, both of you, I did not thank you near enough for saving my life today.
Now your turn next, George. 2 o'clock in the morning. I thought they'd never bank the campfire.
Some powwow. We must have smoked 10 pipefuls since sundown. I think they are scared of you, Captain. That's what kept them so reasonable.
Whatever it is, I want to keep their hands off our horses and our guns.
And our scalps.
One of us better stand guard tonight.
All right. Okay. 3 straws. Into the hat. Now, whoever draws the short straw stands watch. George, you go first.
Me?
Now you, Lou. And one for me. Now, guess what, gentlemen? It's my watch. Well, I'll get myself outside the tent. Pleasant dreams.
He's got mine.
Hey.
He got mine. There were two of them.
He got mine.
I told you they were thieves. Let's go after them.
Where the place is this, Bill? Bill!
What is it? What's up?
You weren't supposed to be standing watch. If I didn't know your family, it'd be 100 lashes.
No, Lou, the way I feel, I'd rather be shot.
I got George's rifle.
Oh, mine, too. Oh, and the shot pouch.
Everyone has got their pistols.
Right.
Move.
Wait a minute. It's still dark out there.
Oh, he's right, Captain Lewis. We couldn't find them.
All right. We'll wait. Outside, the three of us.
I'm sorry as anything.
Well, we get back to St. Louis. Remind me I owe you 100 lashes.
Over here, you two, behind this boulder. Those aren't owls. It's Minotauri talk. They're after our horses.
Something moving.
I've got him. I can't see a thing.
Oh,
hey, you.
Oh, fine. I socked you, George.
You two idiots. They got away with 2 of our horses. I'm getting them back. Stop, you two, or I'll shoot. Stop, or I'll shoot. I have 20 more bullets. Get off of that horse, or you'll be as dead as your friend. All right, that's better.
Oh, you got them.
Take the live one, George, and we'll return him to Chief Rapid Snake.
If I know my Indians, I don't think the chief will like this.
Look, here he comes with his warriors. May mean trouble.
They're carrying something.
Two trussed deer and a... Oh, what's that?
Something big wrapped in a buffalo skin.
It's game, food, a peace offering. What is he signaling?
He says he is sorry. His men have broken his trust. We have been fair with him. He does not wish to insult us.
President Jefferson wanted 3 copies of all our records. Now, I better have the carpenter make a special box for the journals and all the records that you're keeping.
And make it waterproof somehow. Lou, read from the president's list, will you?
Yeah. Latitude and longitude of all remarkable points.
Check.
Names of Indian nations.
Check.
Languages, traditions.
Check.
Diseases, prevalent animals, check. Minerals, climate.
And I've taken daily readings, rainfall, snowfall, got all that. All right. I was just putting down our route from the Missouri Falls across the Rockies. We had 200 miles of pretty good road. Then 140 of terrible, impassable mountains.
Which we managed to pass through.
And 60 miles of which were covered with 2 to 8 feet of snow until June.
I'm going to tell the sergeant to select the men for the first contingent to see the Pacific. You keep dry, Bill.
One whole week of this rain. But it's worth it if Captain Lewis is right about the Great Western Ocean being there.
It's there, Sergeant. Huh? I came to tell you we have had a visit from the Chinooks, and they say the seacoast is 7 miles west of us. If the weather breaks, you and Captain Clark and 6 men will take one canoe. I'll take the other. As you were, men.
Good, sir. Collins.
Yeah.
McNeil.
Yeah.
Warner.
Here.
Whitehouse.
Here.
Gibson.
Sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Captain Lewis, tell me you make journey to great water.
What?
I have come so many miles to see. May I go with you? My baby, too?
Well, we already have our full complement of men, ma'am.
But it's not right. I do work of men.
Well, there's only room, ma'am, for so many in the boat.
Please, I no take much seat.
Well, you can talk to Captain Clark. I'm sure he'll take you along.
Great heavens!
What?
This is the ocean.
The Great Western Ocean. We are here!
I've never seen such immense waves!
Captain Clark, that woman guide, Sacagawea, she's on her knees.
Yes, I see. She's happy. And her baby is sitting throwing stones in the ocean.
Are we going to remain here, sir?
Well, you can do what you like, Sergeant. As for me, I'm also getting on my knees and thanking God.
Yes, sir.
So, you saw it before I did.
Beautiful place to spend the winter. That's what's so hard to believe. Such soft and balmy breezes up here, gently wafting, and that it's December.
Maybe someday there'll be villages, towns, maybe even a city on the Pacific coast. Now that we found the way.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Come along, you red-headed poet. I want to get a report off to President Jefferson while it's still fresh in my mind.
I'm never going to have that problem. I'll always remember the Pacific the way I saw it the first time.
In December 1805, Meriwether Lewis and William Clark reached their objective. By August 1806, they had returned home. Not one member of their expedition lost. Clark gave his gold watch to Lewis to pay off his bet. They had done their job, surmounted obstacles, and come home with a host of memories and over 1 million written words. The last entry in their journal is, "We arrived at St. Louis at 12 o'clock, and having fired a salute, went on shore and received the heartiest and most hospitable welcome from the whole village." It's rare in the science of exploration to find two men who work together so wholeheartedly, Lewis and Clark. Their discoveries are legion, the first to record mountains, rivers, forests, even the first Americans to see a grizzly bear. To the Pacific and back, they showed the way. Today, miles of railroad pass along their trails. But not only did they make Thomas Jefferson's dream come true, explore, take notes, suffer starvation, keep going, they made friends. They made peace wherever they could between Indian nations. Perhaps they were among the first Americans to chart the paths of friendship right here among peoples. If so, blessed were they, Lewis and Clark, the peacemakers. If you missed the details on how to enter...
Our cast included Mason Adams, Bob Caliban, Terry Keane, and William Griffiths. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.